This is ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
If you've ever been to New York, you know how proud New Yorkers are of their city. It has to be one of the most sung about cities on earth. If you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of, and a hustle here and a hustle there, New York City is the place where they said, "Hey babe, take a walk on the wild side." But we're not hearing much singing out of New York right now. What we are hearing is parents outraged after New York City schools closed due to rise in coronavirus infections. That's from NBC News. And tourism may not fully recover in New York City until 2025 due to coronavirus. That's from the New York Times. And they have had 292,000 cases of COVID-19 with over 24,000 dead. So what is it like there? And what would make people who name their Queen's address with such pride leave their beloved New York? Rich Binning and Olivia Petsy have been kind enough to check in on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland throughout COVID from New York City and Boston, and they're here today. Rich, Olivia, hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Where are you right now?
We're at home. We're in Queens on our couch. It's the evening here. We're in our pajamas and having another wild night inside.
What is it like in New York City right now?
You know, it feels normal in a weird way. It's weird to say that. I mean, you know, there's obviously not a lot of tourism happening, but we kind of go about our day. It feels very different from when we were in quarantine at the start of this. So we don't go to many places, or maybe we've just gotten used to not going anywhere.
You know, like Rich said, it does feel somewhat normal here in that people are out and about doing, you know, what they need to do, you know, running errands and things like that. There's definitely a sense of, it feels like a bit of an act, I think. You know, everything that we're doing, you know, people are going out, they're doing errands, and people are doing that. But there's definitely this sort of simmering feeling that this is sort of a facade, like a play that we're all in together, pretending that we're living our normal lives in New York when really it's absolutely anything but.
How long have you lived in New York City?
We moved here in 2008.
Yeah, so more than 12 years we've been here. We came in the fall of 2008, so a long time.
Yeah, and we've been in this very apartment that whole time.
What is the decision that you've made?
Well, we made a pretty drastic decision to move to Colorado, so to the other side of the country for a very different change of pace.
You know, we're moving from New York City to, you know, literally to the Rocky Mountains, so far away, to such a drastically different place. But we are doing it.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it, as I'm sure you are, and everyone that you love. It's kind of trying to figure it out. Rich Binning and Olivia Petsy are my guests. I got to see you in your natural habitat when my family visited New York and you in December. And Olivia, you were a whirling dervish. You were singing in the Oculus. You were with the Upright Citizens. You were in this and that and performing everywhere that you could. And Rich, you're a running coach and a performer as well. You were both, you know, in constant motion. Is any of that possible in New York at the moment?
I hate saying this because it's such a dramatic statement, but nothing that I did before is happening. You know, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I think it's being realistic. I don't see a way that a Broadway theater could reopen, or, you know, performing in a, you know, dingy basement in a comedy club. I just don't see how that can be possible until there is a vaccine that, you know, whatever number of people required for that to have, you know, public health effect, have had it administered, because we're on top of each other here. I can't fathom 1,500 people in a Broadway theater. So 1,500 people sitting there, and then 100 people involved in the show itself, and people singing and, you know, exerting a lot of their breath. I don't know how that could happen.
And when we announced that we were moving, a friend told us that it makes sense because New York City is like a conveyor belt. And once that conveyor belt stops, it just doesn't make sense to be here. So, and I think we would have a more optimistic, not that we're not optimistic about New York, mm-hmm. but I think that we would feel more optimistic for ourselves if we were younger, if we were in our 20s, but we're in our mid-30s and we, you know, there's a lot of life that we want to live. And so the things that we want, we just see outside of New York now.
Yeah. I know how proud you are of your life there, and rightly so, and how proud you are of your city. How hard was the decision, and what was the thing that tipped you?
You know, we had been considering for a couple of years that we might be interested in living somewhere else. And honestly, a lot of that,
when we went to Australia.
In Australia.
Oh,
quite frankly, I mean, we both absolutely loved our time in Australia. And I think that being there and just, you know, experiencing what a different lifestyle was possible. And, you know, we were fascinated by sort of the beach and work lifestyle of Sydney, or, you know, the sunny outdoorsiness, you know, in Queensland and everywhere that we went. And I think it opened up our eyes to, we'd been in New York, where you have the world is here in New York, but New York is its own animal. And I think that being there really opened up our eyes. So sort of since we'd been back from Australia, that was about 2.5 years ago since we came back, we had been toying with the idea of exploring other places to live. We wanted easier access to nature. We wanted, quite frankly, we wanted a dishwasher.
There's no room for any of that at your place.
When we did a video tour of the apartment that we're moving into in Colorado, and when she showed us the kitchen, I said, "Is that a dishwasher?" And the woman was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh my God." And I could tell that she was just like, "Who is this? Who is this little country mouse? I thought you were from New York City." And I mean, it's just those types of things are what has been sort of breaking us sort of slowly over the last couple of years. And then to make the decision, I would say that it was the hardest easy decision we've ever made, and it was the easiest hard decision, if that makes sense. It feels impossibly difficult and also easy at the same time.
Yeah, we were moving in that direction before the pandemic, and then I think this has really just put the foot on the accelerator for us.
What about your tribe there in New York? Are they staying put, or have you got people scattering?
It's been a slow scattering of people, which is really sad for us. We've, you know, over the past 8 months or so, just watched people slowly move back to their hometowns, or, you know, doing what we're doing, or seeking job opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, sometimes it's almost an accident that people are leaving, you know, because it will be, you know, friends with young kids, for example, who in April, you know, maybe they went to go stay with parents in their suburban hometown, and they intended on staying there for just a short amount of time. And then, you know, sort of like us with our fascination with having a dishwasher, if they have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, suddenly living in a house with a yard seems very, very, very appealing. And then these are people, they're just not coming back. And both of us, we've cried a lot over the last few months. You're just realizing you're seeing people, and you didn't realize it was the last time that you were going to see them.
Rich Binning and Olivia Petzi are my guests, speaking to you from Queens in New York, where it is evening. You mentioned, both of you, your time here in Australia. You have toured extensively. You've probably seen more of Australia than a lot of Australians. How does it feel seeing the difference in our numbers to yours?
Oh God.
It's kind of embarrassing, and the lack of, you know, national, like any sort of national response is shocking and upsetting. And, you know, like, we shut down New York City schools yesterday. Mm-hmm. Again, and it's strange to see that. I'm not sure how it's working in Australia, but I know that in Europe, you know, they're keeping schools open and closing bars and restaurants, and they're seeing success with that. And we're doing the opposite approach, and our numbers are not as good.
I find it very embarrassing and very disheartening. I guess I've really just been shocked into a new and deeper understanding of how many people here are not willing to make any type of small compromise or be inconvenienced in a small way to help their fellow human being. You know, the photos of people protesting and screaming how they won't wear a mask. It's really disheartening. I can't believe how we could be so divided as citizens, and then also how our government could really be what I see as failing to support us. Where are the stimulus checks that they were able to give, you know, in March and in April? Why must businesses stay open and staff there has to be at risk? Why can't they be getting stimulus checks? I mean, I know that I'm oversimplifying it, but really, it sometimes feels like people that are billionaires almost don't care about us.
I don't think Australia has ever followed a US election as closely as we did this one. I can only imagine how tense. It was tense over here, watching the numbers rise slowly and the count stop and start. And it was just, it was very, regardless of which side of politics you're on, it was tense to watch. What is the level of tension over there now?
Well, I'll say that I think we didn't realize just how tense we were until, you know, the last Saturday when when it was kind of officially announced by the media that Joe Biden had won the election, and people just started celebrating in the streets.
I mean, there was dancing and jubilation in the streets. It was really incredible. But it's, you know, we're in New York City, you know, a very liberal place. You know, so I think here the overall vibe is of rejoicing. And I have a friend who's a nurse in Ohio, which is in the Midwest of the country. And she was just telling me today that she said so many of her patients still say to her, like, well, we don't know who the next president is yet. It hasn't been decided. And she's like, it's been decided. but yeah, just really impossibly tense here. It feels like things, you know, could really have snap at any moment.
Do you feel like you'll be safer in Colorado?
Such an interesting question, you know, because I feel supremely safe here in New York City. And that was, you know, I had reservations about moving there. You know, Colorado is sort of a more sort of libertarian place than a liberal place. And I think that we're going to experience some level of culture shock going there. And I think that it will be very different for me because I'm from Boston. I'm from a very liberal place, but Rich, on the other hand.
Yeah, I grew up on basically a farm in the middle of nowhere in Ohio.
Wow.
You know, hours from anything. So
the wilderness doesn't scare you.
Quite as culture shock, yeah. But one thing we didn't share is when we go to Colorado, we're moving to Fort Collins, Colorado, and we've never been to Fort Collins,
we've
Colorado.
Never been there.
You're moving, you don't have friends or family there, you're just moving cold.
No.
Moving cold without ever having stepped foot in the place.
We've never been there.
I've already rented an apartment.
Because you got work there, Rich, right? So that is your only connection to this new place in a country that's kind of upside down. That is a brave move.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I forgot that. Maybe my mind blotted that out, but I forgot that detail. We're moving there. We don't know anyone. And we're just going for it because if not now, you know, when? And interestingly, the first time that we came to Australia was we flew there the day after Trump was inaugurated. The first time, the only time. And I just remember it was an interesting experience to be Americans in Australia immediately when he took office. And then, you know, we were there for months and then we were back the following year when, you know, he had a year in office. And I don't think that's a coincidence that I think that was very much tied into the sort of simmerings of ideas that we had in Australia of being like, we might be interested in living somewhere else, ideally in Australia. But if not, we might want to get out of a tense city.
Well, I wish you both the best of luck. And I should also include your third in this, puppy dog, Walter, who I'm sure will be very happy to have the wide open spaces of Colorado after the slightly more cramped confines of his dishwasherless existence in Queens. Rich and Olivia, it's been a pleasure and good luck.
Thank you so much.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.